Luke chapter 5, a very familiar story that we shared with the children there. But let's just see what we can glean from this morning for us as adults today, to be reminded of truths of old and to be taught things anew as well. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, our prayer is very simple this morning. We pray that your will would be done. Nothing more, nothing less, and certainly nothing else. We pray that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, that you would mold us and change us, that we might be real disciples of yours. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I often get asked from time to time how I ended up as a pastor. And I suppose the first part of the question to answer is not how did I become a pastor, but how did I become a follower of Jesus Christ, because without being a disciple of his, I certainly couldn't be a pastor. And as many of you know, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, although my grandparents were a great influence on my life and encouraged my mom to take us to church Sunday by Sunday. When I became old enough to decide for myself, I kept going to church, even beginning to venture out and go twice on a Sunday. What a big step that is, eh? Twice on a Sunday. At 13, after hearing a very clear sermon on a Sunday evening on Christ dying to save a sinner like me, I made a profession of faith. But I'm not sure it meant that much to me, because for the next few years, I was this jolly good lad on a Sunday morning. But for the rest of the week, I was just one of the boys. At age 16, I was convicted again, after hearing the word preached on sin and salvation and on being fully sold out for Jesus. I was convicted about my so-called commitment and so sat by my bed that night and rededicated my life to Christ and was baptized as a believer shortly after. That's part one. Part two is the call to ministry. I worked in the bank for a good number of years. People would, before and after marrying Morag, people would come up to me and tell me that they felt that God had a call in my life for ministry, but I just ignored them. Morag always said she wanted to marry a minister. I was always like, "You married the wrong person, kid." She hadn't, of course. God knows all these things, doesn't he? I tried to ignore all of those times when people would say, "You have gifts and God is calling." Eventually, one night, in 2003, God finally broke through those barriers, broke through those defenses, and made it oh so clear. And I felt God really calling me into ministry. And I followed that call. I have to tell you, I've never once looked back since. I know for sure that I am in the center of God's will, doing what God has called me to do. I was called and I followed. I firmly believe that God is still in the business today of calling people to Him. He calls people to follow Him, to live for Him, to witness for Him. And sometimes He then calls people into further avenues of ministry and service, whether that's to be a pastor or a missionary, a Sunday school teacher, or whatever it happens to be. But God today still calls people. All of us are called. All of us are called to be His disciples. And importantly, all of us are called to make disciples as well. Today, as we move on in Luke's gospel, investigating Jesus, we come to this wonderful passage where Jesus calls His first disciples. A simple day washing nets and listening to some teaching from someone they had grown to know suddenly changed the lives of these followers forever. So let's see what happened that day. And importantly, let's recognize some characteristics of disciples. For these characteristics, these ought to be still characteristics for you and for me today as followers of Jesus. The opening verse of chapter 5 starts with Jesus surrounded by people, teaching them the word of God. So straight away, we learn that disciples love to hear the word of God taught. They love to hear the word of God taught. Hopefully, that's you this morning. Hopefully, that's why you're here, because you love to hear the word of God taught. You'll remember from last week that Jesus taught with authority and the people were amazed by His teaching. After He showed His authority over doctrine, demons, and disease, Jesus took time out to be on His own and to pray. And the crowds found Him and they wanted Him to stay, but Jesus said, verse 43 from last week of chapter 4, Jesus said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And then we read that He kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Jesus' key ministry in many ways can be summed up by two words, preaching and prayer. Throughout Luke, as indeed throughout the Gospels, we'll find Jesus again and again withdrawing to pray. He loved to talk to His Father in heaven. And throughout Luke, as we'll see, Jesus loved to preach as well. He loved to teach people the things of God. And for us pastors today, those are still the two key elements of ministry. They haven't changed. We often get busy with so many other things, distracted in some ways, because ministry today is so multifaceted. But at its core, ministry is still about prayer and preaching. When the first deacons were appointed in Acts chapter 6, it was so that the apostles, what did the apostles say? So that we will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And boy, do I get that wrong sometimes. As I allow myself to get caught up in so many other things and neglect the very basics to which I am called. So pray for your pastor. That's your first wee instruction this morning. Pray for your pastor. I know you do, some of you anyway. Most of you need to be praying for your pastor. And of course, this isn't just for pastors. It's not just for those called to ministry positions. It's actually for us all. We should all, as followers of Jesus, be people of prayer, committed to praying daily and often. We should all, as followers of Jesus, be hungering for the word of God, to be reading it, to be studying it, to be learning it, to be listening to it preached and taught, and indeed to be talking about it with other people. Here in verse 1, we read that one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around Him, listening to the word of God, He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets, and He got into one of them, the one belonging to Simon, asked him to put out a little from shore. Then He sat down and taught the people from the boat. People, as they often did around Jesus, they pressed about Him to hear the Bible taught and explained. This is a clear, identifying characteristic of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. They love to hear the Word of God taught. They long to hear the Bible explained to them. You see, the word disciple means pupil or student. And all disciples of Jesus Christ know that their main textbook, that their only source of information about God and about Jesus and about the Holy Spirit, about salvation, about heaven, about all the things relating to God, is in the Word of God. And people who truly love God want to know as much about God as possible. And the only way to do that is to study God's Word and to hear God's Word taught. The fishermen were washing their nets that day. They were listening in as they did so to this teaching that was going on right round about them. It helped to pass the time. They were probably eagerly listening in as well. And we need to remember that this is not the first time that these particular fishermen have met Jesus. They've spent time with Jesus on and off for about a year now. They encountered him in John chapter 1. And remember, John chapter 1 through into 3 and into a bit of chapter 4 of John were the first year of Jesus' ministry. And now Luke picks up the second part. So these folks have heard some of his teaching. They've witnessed some of his miracles. Remember that in the previous chapter, Jesus was in the home of Simon. Simon, who's now fishing, he was in Simon's home with his mother-in-law, healing Simon's mother-in-law. So they have heard the teaching. They have witnessed the miracles. They have heard about the need to be born again. And most likely during that period, they will have come to some kind of faith in Jesus. And here they are. They're listening in again. And it gets even better for one of them, for Simon. Because Jesus steps into his boat and asks him to put out a little from shore so that he can teach from his boat. Simon is right close by as Jesus teaches. It's been a long night. A hard night. It's been a tiring night, but still they eagerly listen to the teaching of Jesus. And friends, there is a true disciple for you, loving to hear the Word of God taught. And that word heard inspires the soul. It thrills the heart and it thrills the emotions. It excites the follower of Jesus. So listen, the next time you feel like you don't want to come to church, just get yourself here because God has got something to say to you. He really does. He always does whenever his word is open, whenever it's preached, whenever it's proclaimed, whenever it's taught. Get hungering after God's word. Read it, learn it, love it, live it. When Jesus finishes teaching the crowds that day, he moves on to teach Simon another lesson. And here we see that disciples obey Jesus even when it doesn't make sense. They obey even when it doesn't make sense. Verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. I need to pause here. I need to try and understand what Jesus was asking Simon to do here. First of all, Simon was the fisherman. Jesus was a carpenter. He was a teacher. Who knows more about fishing? Peter should be instructing Jesus about fish and not the other way around. Second, Simon had already been fishing all night long and he hadn't caught a thing. Besides that, it's now getting near the middle of the day and everybody knows that the middle of the day is not the best time to catch fish. The fish have retreated to hide under the rocks. As long as the sun is out, they hide where predators can't see them. So chances are if they didn't catch anything during the night, there's not many fish around in that place and any that aren't going to come and get easily caught. And finally, probably most frustrating of all for Simon is that he has just finished cleaning his nets to get them ready for their next trip the following evening. If he dropped them into the lake now, he's going to have to clean them all over again. And the poor man's exhausted. This request of Jesus to put down the nets doesn't make sense at all. And it will only cause more work for Simon. But look what Simon does in verse 5. He tells Jesus his concerns, and then he simply obeys him. Simon answered, Master, We've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And there's three things to notice there. The recognition that they've worked hard all night long. They were tired, probably despondent at catching no fish. That word for worked hard means literally toiled wearisomely. They're done in. They've given it their all. They're exhausted. And the only thing they can think of is their bed. Second of all, there's no fish there. So there's doubt, there's skepticism. These were fishermen after all. He was simply a carpenter and a teacher. And then thirdly, that recognition that here is a special man before them. This is Jesus. And because of that, Simon is able to say, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. Simon responds to Jesus in faith. And that is what Jesus wants from every single one of us in this place today. He wants us to respond to his call in faith. We may not always understand that call, but since it's Jesus who is calling, we ought to respond in faith. He wants us to be willing to come to him, to follow him, to obey him, to serve him. My friend, are you willing to respond in that way to God's call today? Are you willing to obey him, even when it doesn't make sense? And just look what happens. Look what happens when Simon finally and faithfully obeys Jesus. A net full of fish. In fact, so great a net full of fish that their nets are breaking, and they call their friends to come and to help. And look what happens to them in verse 7. It says that they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. This was the catch of a lifetime. This was amazing. Obedience to Christ's commands always result in divine blessing. When God tells you to do something, do it. Even if it doesn't make sense to you humanly. God told Noah, this happens right through the scriptures, doesn't it? God told Noah to build a boat because there was a flood coming when nobody had even heard about rain. And Noah did it. And God told Abraham to pack up his possessions and to start walking. And Abraham did it even though he didn't have a clue where he was going. God told the people of Israel to march around the city of Jericho 7 times for 7 days, and they must have wondered what on earth they were going to do. And at the end of it, the walls came tumbling down. They simply obeyed God. God wants to work through you, my friend. God wants to bless you. But you have to be able to do what Simon says. You need to be like Simon when he says it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, but nonetheless, at your word, I will obey. Are you ready to obey Jesus, to follow him, to do what he asks you to do, even when it makes little sense to you? Disciples. But we come to another important characteristic of a follower of Christ here in verses 8 to 10. Disciples are aware of their own sinfulness. They're aware of their own sinfulness. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Verse 8 tells us that when Simon saw the result, the large number of fish and the sinking boats, he falls down at Jesus' knees. His humility shines through as he falls down and calls Jesus no longer master, but he calls him Lord. And whether he fully understood what he was saying at this point, I don't know. It's up for discussion. But the simple fact is that he falls down and he addresses Jesus as Lord. And it signifies that change from master of a few verses before. He realizes that this man in front of him is something special. He is something different. He senses something of God at work. And his friends are astonished as well, it tells us there in verse 9. And we need to remember that this is the culmination of probably a year's work, okay? We often think that people immediately come to know and then follow on. But for a year, Peter's been around Jesus. For a year he's heard some of the teaching. For a year he's witnessed some of the miracles. In John chapter 1, he followed Jesus to a wedding, to the temple. He followed him around the country and then home via a pit stop at a well with a Samaritan woman. And now I get the sense here that Peter's gone back out fishing. He's gone back to what he knows. He's gone out the night before and he's spent it out catching his nets. Simon, I think, in that moment, maybe he stopped following Jesus, I don't know. Maybe he's thought that the year was all he had to give. Maybe he's thought, I just want to go back and see what it's like, I don't know. But he has trouble with it. He doesn't enjoy it like he did. A lot of times he doesn't even catch any fish anymore. And Jesus enters that scene once more and he reminds Simon Peter of his call on his life. And Simon doesn't rejoice like you or I might at that great catch of fish. You know, that great catch of fish would have set him up for a while if he had sold them all. No, he realized he was trying to go back and do it all on his own. And he wasn't trusting God for his needs. And Simon realizes then that God will supply all of his needs. If he follows Jesus, he will not go without food. He will not go without clothes. Simon Peter realizes his own proud and arrogant self-sufficiency. Jesus had asked Simon to follow him, and Simon, after following Jesus for a little while, has gone back to fishing. And this implied that he had more important, more practical things to do. But in Luke chapter 5 and verse 8, Simon Peter realizes his grave error. He realizes that grave mistake. There is nothing more important than following Jesus. And when we follow Jesus, he promises to provide for all of our needs, making something or someone else in our lives more important than following Jesus is sin. And that's what Simon Peter realizes here in this moment. He put fishing, providing for his family, above following Jesus. What kind of things do you put above following Jesus? What kind of things do you put above obeying Jesus' call on your life? Is it your family? Is it your work? Your hobbies? Your me time? We all love that these days, don't we? I need to have me time. Is it your health? Your image? Your body? Some of those are important, but listen, none of them are more important than following Jesus with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Nothing, nothing must come before becoming a disciple of Jesus and following him. Nothing must come before crowning Jesus as Lord of every area of your life and living for him. Friends, today, maybe you need to acknowledge your sinfulness and confess it to Almighty God. He is faithful and just and will forgive your sins through Jesus. And maybe today you need to make following Jesus the number one priority in your life. Recognizing who he is. Recognizing who it is that stands before him. Simon has fallen to his knees and declared himself a sinful man. He doesn't surprise Jesus with this, by the way. Jesus already knows who Simon Peter is. He already knows who Hamish Wishart is. He already knows who you are today. He knows everything about you, the good bits. And yes, by jingo, he knows all those bad bits, flawed bits, all those sinful bits. He knows them all. And he already knows, Jesus already knows, that he wants this ordinary man to follow him and be a fisher of men. In the second half of verse 10, we see that disciples are fishers of men. This is your role. This is your task. This is your life, my friend. I wonder what Simon Peter thought Jesus would say. He's just caught the biggest haul of fish in his career. His name's going to be on the map now as the man who's caught the biggest haul of fish. We all know these guys that have caught the big fish, don't we? They boast about it often enough. I caught a fish this size. Simon Peter could be the man who said, I've caught the biggest haul of fish ever. The two boats were sinking with them. Their boat had finally come in, you might say. This was the money-making chance of a lifetime. And Jesus comes to Simon Peter. Comes to Simon Peter in that moment. And he says, leave it all. and follow me. Isn't that incredible? Jesus has just allowed Peter to catch the biggest haul of his career. And then he says, leave it. Leave it all behind. And he says in verse 10, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Don't be afraid. Those great words of the New Testament from God, do not be afraid. I'm here. I'm with you. I have a plan. You are going to be fishers of men. And Mark records that request in Mark 1:17 with the words of Jesus. He says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus wants to take these ordinary men and have them follow him and witness for him. They've been used to fishing until now. And Jesus says, I want you to fish for something else. I want you to be fishing for people. I want you to be telling others all about me and pointing them to my Father in heaven. Peter, Andrew, James, and John become Jesus' first disciples and follow him. That day must have been one of the most exciting in their lives, their entire careers. And Jesus comes and says, listen, I want you to do something that you'll find even more exciting. I want you to fish for people. I want you to be fishers of men. I want you to share the gospel with others. And listen, let me tell you this today. There is nothing more exciting in this world than reeling a human life into the kingdom of God. We don't do it, by the way. It's all done by God. But he gives us that wonderful privilege of partnering with him. But there is nothing more. Just you sit down and share the gospel with somebody and invite them to respond in faith and watch how exciting it is when they do that. You know, the greatest thrills in my ministry have not come as a younger man when I stood on the stage and led sessions at the Baptist Youth Assembly back in the days when they had a Baptist Youth Assembly. The greatest thrills in my ministry have not come when I've led a family service at the Baptist Assembly. The greatest thrill in my ministry has not been at Tenerife for a week preaching at a church conference, by the way. The greatest thrill is not when we've planned and renovated and extended a wonderful new building. It's not when we employ a youth worker for the first time and see some of the great fruits of all of that. Listen, the greatest thrills aren't weddings. They aren't dedications, they aren't baptisms, no matter how thrilling they are for me as a pastor and how exciting they are. Do you know what always thrills me more than anything else? It's when I sit in that front row with somebody beside me who wants to give their life to Jesus Christ. That thrills me more than anything else. Oh, people, wouldn't it be great if we could see that more and more and more and more in these days? Not just me, but for all of us. To be sharing the gospel with people and to have that thrill of seeing them put their trust and their faith in Jesus Christ, that will change their lives for eternity. What a thrill. And we're called to do that. We're called to catch people, to catch men and women and boys and girls. We're called to share the gospel. We're called to tell people about Jesus. And he makes the same invitation to you and to me today that he made to those fishermen. He says, come, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Your worldly profession might be as a student today. It might be a banker or a teacher, a chef or an accountant, a joiner, a car salesman, a nurse, a doctor, a who knows what. But your real profession today, friends, is none of those things. If you think that's all there is to your life, then there's something sadly missing. Your key profession today is as a fisher of men. You might find that daunting. You might find that scary. You might even find it frightening. You might even think, how on earth can I do that? You might think I can't answer all the questions. You might think I don't know what to say or what to do. Listen, don't worry. That's normal. That's normal. That's okay. Everybody feels that way. Do you know how to overcome that? We do what the disciples did. They followed Jesus. Remember Mark 1:17 as Mark records this event. Jesus says, come, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. How do you become a fisher of men? By following Jesus. You become a fisher of people by following Jesus. If you decide to follow Jesus down the path of discipleship, he will make you fishers of men. Learn from him. Learn of him. Live it out in practice. And one last characteristic, just as we head towards a close. Disciples are willing to forsake all and to follow Christ. How does Simon Peter respond in this moment? What do his friends do? Verse 11. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. They recognized the significance of this moment. They realized the one who was before them calling them into service. They realized that this was somebody of such supreme importance that they forsook all and followed him. They left behind their families. They left behind their friends. They left behind their familiar settings. They left behind their favorite jobs. And all to follow Jesus. Jesus had captured their imaginations. He had called them to something bigger and something better. From now on, they are going to fish for people. They won't be catching fish and killing them anymore. They're going to be catching people and giving them life. Life in all of its fullness. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Jesus, John 10:10, I have come that they may have life. And life in all its fullness. Life to the abundant. Becoming a Christian, friends, is absolutely free. There's no cost whatsoever. Jesus paid it all. Through his death, he paid the penalty for our sin. We receive the free gift of eternal life simply by believing in Jesus. But becoming a disciple is a little bit different. There's a great cost involved in becoming a disciple. It may cost you everything you have. It may cost you everything you are. It may cost you everything you own, but the results are worth it. The reward far outweighs the cost. That's what Simon and his companions realized, and that's why they left everything and followed Jesus. Are you willing? Are you willing to give up everything for Jesus? Are you willing to forsake all and follow him? When we respond to Christ's call, he changes us. And then he changes our personal agenda as well. If we decide to take Christ seriously, we may end up doing something we never even thought possible. You might say to me, what happens if Jesus asks me to do something I can't do? Well, let me tell you, he's going to do that. He is going to do that. Don't even think about it. He's going to ask you to do something you can't do. He always does. And if he does ask you to do stuff, if he asked you to do stuff you could already do, you wouldn't need him. You wouldn't need his help. You would do it in your own strength and think, Lou, look how great I am. But listen, all those years ago, I realized no matter how much I was trying to avoid this call to follow Jesus and to be his disciple and to be a minister of the gospel, no matter how much I put up the barriers and said, I can't do this, I realized I had to let go and to let God. And he takes and he uses and he does. Listen, God will give you the strength, the courage. He will give you the words. He will show you what to do. Friends, this morning, we've seen Jesus call his first disciples. And Jesus is still in the business of calling disciples today. He calls people to put their faith and trust in him alone for their salvation. And then he calls us to be his disciples, to follow him, to learn of him, from him, to serve him with all we have and are. And of course, he calls us to be fishers of men. And there, we recognized in there five characteristics of followers of Jesus. Disciples love to hear the word of God taught. Disciples obey Jesus even when it doesn't make sense. Disciples are aware of their own sinfulness. Disciples are fishers of men. And disciples are those who are willing to forsake all and to follow Christ. Do those characteristics describe you and me today? Are you a follower of Jesus? Are you his disciple? For Peter and the others, following Christ meant leaving behind the old life, including that incredible catch of fish, by the way, giving up their boats, their nets, their livelihood, and following Christ into an unknown future. Letting go always has to come first. Anything that hinders our walk with Jesus needs to go. Even some good things need to go in order that better things may come from the Lord. We can't have it both ways. And so the question is simple today. Are you ready to follow Jesus wherever he leads? Are you ready to follow Jesus wherever he leads? That's all he wants. They left everything, it says, and followed him. And my heart cries out this morning, and me too, Lord. Me too. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for these wonderful encounters that we can read in Scripture. And we can read how these first followers of yours began to hear, to obey, to follow. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to be just like them, that we would have that love for your word, that we would obey you even when it doesn't make sense. Lord, would you help us to be acutely aware of our own sinfulness, that we might confess it before you often. And Lord, would you help us to be fishers of men today, fishers of women, fishers of boys and girls. Father God, would you help us to be a people today who are willing to forsake all and to follow you. Lord, give us boldness to let go. Give us courage to let God. And Lord, help us to walk in your ways always. Lord, if there are any here this morning who have yet to put their trust and their faith in you for salvation, I pray that they would do that right now in this moment. For any in this place who feel called to be your disciple, that they would simply respond in faith today. And Lord, if you are calling some to go beyond that, to go beyond just worshiping you here on a Sunday, Lord, if you are calling some into ministry, to full-time service, to mission work, then Lord, I pray today that we would simply open up and respond in faith, that we would let those barriers down, and that we would leave everything and follow you. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being a follower of yours. Thank you for the privilege of being your disciple. Help us to rest in that and to follow you always, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just as I am with